Most of us are familiar with Job. Not all of us have read the book of Job the whole way through or even know all the significant parts of the story, but most of us are familiar with the man and how the story goes. Many of us understand it like this. The devil made a wager with God that he could make Job curse God's name by taking away all his possessions and destroying all that he loved. Job was a good man, loved God, and despite all the tragedy and turmoil, he remains faithful to God. That's what we know. That's the severely abridged version of the book of Job. And with broad strokes, you miss a lot of the finer details. As modern-day Christians, we also come to this story with baggage that we carry and lenses through which we read that make everything that much more difficult. Fortunately, we're starting right at the beginning of Job, so we can unpack a few things before we get too far. First, let's look at the conversation between God and Satan, or better yet, that relationship between them. As Christians, we sometimes view the relationship between God and the one that we call Satan or the devil as being one in opposition to the other, good and evil, vying for the souls of humanity. Even this perspective colors the text and how we read it. According to what we have in front of us, the book of Job, Satan appears with other heavenly beings and appears to be what looks like some sort of reporting meeting. Satan isn't cast as evil, just someone playing, appropriately enough, devil's advocate. Indeed, all that follows, all that Satan does to upset and disrupt Job's life is not done in a power move to overthrow God, but is done only by God's allowance and only to a certain point. And so right off the bat, with a different understanding of who this Satan or Satan is, the story changes shades dramatically. It's not a story of ultimate good and ultimate evil. It's about something else, something that we're going to be exploring over the next few weeks. The other thing that we should address before diving into this week's text is where Job falls, where the book of Job falls in the history of the wider Bible, and whether or not Job was a person to whom all these things happened. Even in the 6th century BC, Job was a legend, a man whose story was shared throughout the oral history of the Jewish people, even written about in the book of Ezekiel. But his story was not so much the legend of a man who persevered as it was a teaching story for those who were struggling through hardships. Because people struggled. They lost loved ones, lost possessions, lost quality of life because of afflictions to their health. And in Job, people living in strife could see themselves and how they might live in relationship with God through their troubles. So with some of that unpacking out of the way, let us try to come to the opening verses of Job with fresh eyes. Let us pray. Comforting and calming God, help us to hear the story of Job this day and over the coming weeks. Help us to see the strong foundation of faith of Job in stark contrast to the crumbling world around him. Encourage us in those moments when we would recoil from a story like this to instead see and hear what God is saying to us in the midst of our own struggles. Inspire us with Job's story to be people of faith, not just that we might stand on our own, but that we might support one another. We ask this and all things in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So even with some of that unpacking, we cannot change how some of us feel about the book of Job, especially these opening verses. Because the story doesn't start off slow. Once the wager is struck between God and Satan, Job's life gets turned upside down all at once. A messenger comes. The oxen and donkeys were stolen, all the servants killed, except me. And before he finishes, another comes. Fires burned the sheep and the servants. Only I survived. And again, another rushes in. The Chaldeans took the camels and killed the servants, leaving only me alive. And before any of that bad news even has time to register with Job, the worst news comes. The house of your eldest son collapsed, killing all your sons and daughters. Only I am left to tell you. Everything's gone. Everything he worked hard for, everything he cared about, gone all at once. This is a lot to lay on Job. And it's a lot to lay on us as the hearers of the story. And many of us would have similar reactions to this story. We feel sorry for Job, frustrated maybe at the minister for making us sit through it, angry maybe at God for so clearly letting this happen. We feel all those things and more, but some of us feel something else. Kinship. Kinship. We feel connected to this man who is struggling with such loss, and we identify with him because we too know what it's like to lose our sense of security in life, to lose loved ones, to have the ground beneath our feet feel like shifting sands. We all have reactions to these opening verses, but I bet there aren't many of us who respond to all that has happened in the way that Job did. He worshiped God. He didn't praise God because all those terrible things happened. No, for that, he tore his robes and shaved his head, acts of deep grief in his culture. In response to all that is broken, all that is falling apart, all that is upside down, Job is grieving deeply. And he is worshiping God. Grief is something that we understand. It's something we'd expect. It's something that we would expect in the face of such loss. But it might be harder for some of us to jump straight into worship as quickly as Job did. We often associate worship with good feelings, feelings of joy, expectation, hope, celebration. Sometimes it's hard to mix in feelings of doubt, of uncertainty, pain, and grief with worship and praise. But it is exactly for times of hardship that worship is most important. It reminds us that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, but more than that, it is a space in which we can cry out and be held in our brokenness, held by one another, held by God. Indeed, a fair chunk of the Psalms are songs of worship in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering and loss. There's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations, a crying out to God by a people who feel abandoned but who do not abandon their faith. We need space in our faith for the good. Yes, we should celebrate. But when we are experiencing something traumatic, something that we can't even comprehend and deal with, we need space as well. We need space to loose our rage and anger and grief, to seek God's guidance through it all, to feel God's embrace through it all. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be following the story of Job, because it is the story of us. For Job, his world fell apart around him. Everything he loved gone. His life turned upside down. Over the past few months, and especially over the past few weeks, we have seen our world fall apart in so many ways. We have seen hate rise, lives lost, and leaders bringing military might against their own people. Like Job, our lives have been turned upside down. 2020 seems to be the year when all that we know and love comes to pieces around us. And through all this, through our brokenness and our wondering at the meaning of it all, God is with us, not keeping an eye off to the side to make sure that the wager comes out in God's favor. But God is with us, weeping with us, raging when we are raging, holding us close when we feel lost and alone. Because that is where God is in the midst of tragedies, not off to the side, but in the middle of it, giving voice to those who cry out against injustice, standing between the powerful and the marginalized, under the knee of the oppressor. That is where God is. God was with Job and is with us when the world is falling apart. God is with us now, guiding us to be part of building a new world out of what was. I mentioned a moment ago that 2020 is the year when things are falling apart, but it also reminds me of a saying, hindsight is 2020. It means that we can see clearly the mistakes that we made because it happened in the past, and hopefully we can learn from those mistakes. And yet so much of the suffering and strife that's happening in the world right now is a result of us not learning from the past. We need our faith in this time more than ever because it is from our faith in God who came and walked among us as Christ that we learn how to respond to injustice, how to reach out and offer strength to those who have been brought low, to raise our voices in rage and support of those who have been silenced. So as we come together today, as we come together in the coming weeks, let us come with our anger and frustration, offering it to God, seeking guidance in how we might be partners, active participants in the building of the kingdom of love that we so often pray about. Let us tear our clothes and respond in grief, yes, but let us continue to worship that we might find a way forward together in faith, because that is the only way. We cannot move forward divided. We cannot move forward if we don't acknowledge the spark of the divine that lives within us that calls us to a better world. So let us continue in our worship this day and every day as we seek that path that God is calling us to. Amen.